back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 211. Gonna start talking pitchers here. We've done all the hitting positions. We did an underdog preview recently for you. We're gonna compare our, mine and Ryan's, top 20 SP rankings that dropped over on the Patreon this past weekend. Relief pitching dropping regularly this week. But we're gonna compare those, and then following episodes, we'll start previewing the other ADPs from there. Before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDIntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're good. We're good. We're talking rankings. People love their rankings. The folks love them. So we're gonna compare. Maybe we'll get a beer bet or two out of this thing. We'll see. I've been fishing for a couple. I've been listening to your Bench with Bubba pods and like trying to listen to certain takes you have and angle that in for a beer bet. I'm maniacal that way. So hopefully we'll get a couple more out of this one.
Oh, we'll get somebody in the year. Like I said, we just got to build this up. It's still, you know, February, early February. So let's get things going. We'll probably have some bets going on. Like, we did a live labor draft in a few weeks where I'm heckling you and got you on tilt. So you'll just give in and start making bets, stuff along those lines, which will be great.
But, I hope not.
Yeah, the labor draft is on the 25th, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so yes, it is. So labor draft will be February 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So we'll be streaming that one. Mark your calendars. It's one of my favorite streams of the year. And then Tout Wars will be the following Tuesday,
yep,
which is March 4th.
So yes, March 4th.
March 4th at 8 p.m. So, yeah, later on we'll be doing two. And actually, the nice thing about Tout is you don't get to just sit back there and make fun of me. You actually have to draft with me. So,
that's, yep. I still make fun of you, but well, especially since I finished higher than you last year. But we'll bring that up later. Don't worry about it.
Oh my God!
For those that maybe missed Tuesday's episode, we did announce the leagues on the Patreon, free and paid. You can go check out that video over on the Patreon announcing the leagues as they are filling up here. The last of the 10 leagues will be filled rather shortly. So we'll have that taken care of for you. So go check that out if you're interested. Links should be out any day if you don't have them already. One last bit of housekeeping news here. If you guys want to get ready for draft season, go check out baseballhq.com. They have their draft prep subscription that goes from now to the end of April. And if you use promo code Bubba Bloom, BUBBABLOOM, you get $10 off the draft prep subscription. Gives you full site access from now until April. So projections, the works, plus a full month of in-season usage as well to get you a good feel of the HQ products. All right.
I got nothing. Yeah.
There we go. All right, let's talk top 20 starting pitchers. And this is where it gets interesting because, like Ryan said, everyone loves putting rankings out, and Ryan really never does. This is like his first foray, dude, into rankings.
Rough.
I've done it rough year to year, and you say rough. So explain what was rough, Ryan. Well, what happened?
Well, I left off. We did a full top 100, so that's on the again on the Patreon. But I just straight up left off a couple guys: Joe Ryan, Carlos Rodon, just not on the list. So that was good. And then I don't know, maybe this is just my time to vent. Like, it doesn't come up so much on this episode, right? Like top 20. There's some separation here that I do feel strongly about. But honestly, man, trying to rank like 40 through 70, 80 through 100, yeah. I don't know. You're just putting people in an order. And it's for me, it's the tough thing about rankings is just visually as a reader, you're looking at the rankings and you're just going down, and as like it's linear. But it's very much not and I do all of my own pitcher projections by hand. I just that's part of my process. And if I tinker, if I add or take off 10 innings on a guy, he may go up 5 or 10 spots, depending on how bunched these guys are, especially later on in the starting pitcher pool. So, and it's just, I mean, we can't project 5-10 innings. We can't project 75 innings. So it's just tough. And then obviously, you know, other things to, there's the whole team build aspect, right? As you know, is if you start with a George Kirby, maybe you bump up strikeout guys. Maybe you pair them with a Dylan Cease like shortly after that. So there's a whole kind of roster construction portion to it as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I was, when I saw I left off Joe Ryan and Carlos Rodon, I was like, wow, I am a noob at this.
Usually my problem, and this year, knock on wood, I don't think it's happened yet. I usually will double up a player or two and not realize it that I had him already.
Yeah, you put him twice?
Yes, especially with the, like you mentioned, the blob. And like when we posted the rankings, I write a little blurb for the Patreon people, and I mentioned, it's like, yeah, you have your elite guys, and you can make your cases for your SP1s and 2s as you draft type thing. And then it's just this blob of team needs, essentially. And there's a couple different blobs, of course, and that's a common frame used by Scott White and Paul Sporer and company, but it's been adapted by pretty much everybody. And it makes sense to Ryan's point of, as you're drafting like 40 through 70, it's almost more of a personal preference, because some of these guys, it's literally just flip a coin between the two. Like if they have one better start than the other, it just, who knows? It's very feasible and all things considered. So pitching such a volatile thing because of the innings, like Ryan mentioned, we're hitters. You know, for the most part, if we know a player A is going to lead off and play 150 games, we can speculate X amount of at-bats, so on and so forth. And that's one reason why we like projections for hitting over pitching, because it's a little more of a, you know, when you talk about these guys that love their spreadsheets, much more serviceable to what they're looking for, unlike the caveman where we just figure it out. So, yeah, that's what makes pitching even more fun. That's one thing that's I always struggle with, and maybe that's why I punt pitching more often than not. And I just, you know, say it's such a volatile position. Let's roll.
It's also tough because, like, again, my methodology is to just kind of do it by projections and go down that list. But then I see players right next to each other, and it's like, really, on draft day, will I click that button in the draft room over this guy I have ranked slightly higher over what I think might be a safer player a little bit later on? So all those things. I don't know. Feels good to get it off my chest.
Yeah, no, the starting pitching, it's why I like the Nick Pollock, Zeno Saris, Paul Spores. I apologize, I'm probably forgetting others, but like the guys that have been doing pitching for so long, it's a special breed. It's the best way I'll put it. Like, you really have to be like deep in the weeds on this stuff. And Ryan and I joke about it. Like, these guys like their, you know, their stuffs models or their IVBs and all this stuff. That's like, dude, I just want to know how many innings are they going to pitch, and I'll kind of navigate it from there. There's reasons to use these things. Don't get me wrong, but some of it's just, it's deep in the weeds for me.
And that's honestly the hardest number to project. It's not whip. It's not strikeout rate. It's not even wins. It's innings. it's just so hard to tell who's going to stay healthy, who's not. You can have your hedges based on injury history, age, and that sort of thing, and I factor that into my innings projection. But it's like I said, if you tweak someone 5-10 innings, it can change your ranking quite a bit. And so it's a fun exercise.
And then the last thing I think I want to mention here before we actually get into the kind of just talking about, we're not really even debating, just kind of giving our reasoning behind our top 20s, is on your aggregator sheet, you mentioned you like to do your own personal pitching projections. We can alter the innings pitch there to get the potential projections correct, or am I missed? Okay, if you guys wanted to kind of mention that, because I know we have a question later. We did the same exercise last year at Jacob DeGrom. We have a question about that on today's show. So I wanted to bring that up. If you believe Zach Wheeler's going to throw 205 innings or whatever, you can up him. Or, like, I know Freddie Peralta's got a low, I think he's around like 165 to 170 innings. If you think he's going to go 185, like, alter things and see where it goes type stuff.
So. Absolutely. I will play with some examples as we go through this top 20. Do I even have DeGrom in my top 20?
Probably
maybe
not.
I won't. I'll bring it up when you do.
I have him at number 9, but I'll give my reason why. And the last thing I'll mention here, and people are probably like, Jesus, guys, you're all over the board. But that's, if you listen to me long enough, this is what happens when you let me talk. Especially with rankings in general. If I don't like a guy, it doesn't mean I'm not going to rank him per se. I'll have him lower than the masses still, but I'm going to rank him just because in reality, like, he needs to be ranked. Unlike Joe Ryan and Carlos Rodon, they need to be ranked. When we get to DeGrom, like, I have him lower than the consensus. I would have almost done a Ryan if I could have in the grand scheme of things. And now I'm really curious. You have DeGrom at 29. So did not make the cut on this episode. And yeah, I'm not going to say you're wrong. And we'll obviously talk about that pretty soon.
Yeah, I can hear the pitchforks coming. I can hear the pitchforks.
You're fine. You're fine. All right, let's get at it here. Top rankings. We have ADP. If you're watching on YouTube, we've got ADP from like this past weekend. You got my rankings. You got Bloomfield's rankings all right next to each other. Kind of quasi nice and shocker. I made the screenshot this time. Just going to throw that out there. This guy, I thought there was no color on it. But
no grid lines, no borders. We're just
clean around here.
We're just raw here, but that's fine. Yeah. It's legible.
That's what we do. Skeen Scoobal, 1 and 2 for all of us, ADP, myself, and you. So do you have anything you want to mention about Skeens and Scoobal? Because the one thing I'll mention before you go is I have 0 shares, and I don't think I'll have any shares.
Okay. I do have a Scoobal share. I just picked him in my latest draft and hold in the early second round. Some of it is just mixing things up early on. Some of it is, I think, Skeens and Scoobal, assuming they make it through spring training and they're healthy, and there's no reason to think they wouldn't. I think those guys will creep into the definite top 10, maybe even top 5 come the last draft weekend of the season. I don't, do you have a strong preference between either one? I could rank them 1, 2, 2, 1, doesn't really matter. I think they are both head and shoulders above the rest of the pack. It's just, you need to ask yourself, do you want to spend a first round pick on one of those two?
I don't spend a first round pick on one of those two. That's my problem, but I could be, right. Maybe that's why I don't want overall competitions and stuff. But if I have to pick between the two, it's how I have them ranked. Skeen Scoobal is how I would draft him. I know it's the cop-out answer, but with Scoobal, he was great last year, still a year removed from the injury situation where I'm always concerned about that. And that just being naive or whatever. Skeens could get hurt just as easily. Skeens just looks more like a workhorse to me. Like, just looking at the build, we've seen those kind of pitchers succeed more. It's just pure, like, both of them are great. 0 problems with either one.
Yeah, they both, and this was the kind of infamous board we talked about at First Pitch Arizona, but both of these guys are on that top 10 fastball velocity list, right? Yep. Where everyone the previous year hit the IL who was on the top 10. I'm kind of with you on Skeens. He's young enough. The build is there. 360 innings last year. I'm not too worried. Again, any pitcher can go down at any point, which is kind of why we both normally don't take them in the first round. But if you want to go for it, they are the clear class of the position this year.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, ADP 3 and 4 is Zach Wheeler and Garrett Crochet. I have Wheeler 3. I just paired these because we both have these here, by the way. I have Wheeler 3, Gilbert 4. You have Gilbert 3, Wheeler 4. So I'll let you have the floor first. I know you've talked Gilbert a ton on the show, but you can rehash that if you'd like.
I just think I am super high on Gilbert. My hot take here is I think Logan Gilbert can be the number 1 overall starting pitcher this season at the entire position. I think when I'm looking at early pitchers, I want 3 things, right? I want skills. Obviously, they need to be good first and foremost. I want volume. Logan Gilbert checks those boxes. And I want someone who's not old and more likely to break down. And Logan Gilbert checks that box as well. He's the only one that checks all 3 for me. Whereas Skeens and Scoobal haven't had the workload history yet. Skeens' case, he hasn't had the chance to have it yet. So I get it. Logan Gilbert has the volume edge over them. Logan Gilbert has the age edge over Zach Wheeler, who just doesn't worry me quite yet, but he is approaching that old territory. If there's just any kind of nit you're going to pick, it's 834 season for Zach Wheeler. And I just think Logan Gilbert from a skill standpoint is freaking awesome. So if the Mariners can score some runs, get him some wins, I think Logan Gilbert could be the number 1. I'm not projecting it, obviously, because I have Logan Gilbert 3rd, but I would not be surprised if Logan Gilbert is our number 1 pitcher in 2025. That's my hot take for the day. Only 1.
Yeah, it's a big jump from 3 to 1. what's your
ADP is 5th. He's 5th, man. He's behind Wheeler.
What other box Logan Gilbert checks? He's on the same list as Skeens and Scoobal that throw too hard. So you got that going for you.
Barely, though. He's like 96. Couple ticks below.
I'm not going to use that chart to skew me from drafting people. I know some people will, and hey, maybe all 10 get hurt again, but I forget what the stat was now. It's so far removed. I mentioned it so many times after FPAS, but it was some crazy number, like 65-70% or something of the starting pitching pool all got hurt last year at some point. Mm-hmm. So like, if that's the case, that's again why we don't take him that early that often. But I have nothing against Gilbert. I'm with you. The age is a very, very big plus. Going to be 28 years old. You've seen the workhorse load, like you've mentioned. The strikeouts have improved. A lot of that's its velocity, but also just becoming a better pitcher. The ballpark, we saw the ballpark factor in Seattle bonkers these days. So, yeah, I got no problem with it at all. Maybe I should. Maybe when we update, I'll change things around here and do the youth movement here. But I'm not an ageist, so I don't go that route. But I'm not against what you're saying either. I have Zach Wheeler third, and I'll hit on this first. Wheeler's third. More so, like, I guess it's just the kind of commonality of the way I draft. It's just maybe one of my problems mentioned many times, but this dude's just been a horse. He's thrown 190 or more innings in four of the last five non-COVID seasons, 180 in five out of six. So just a machine in that regard. And even the year he didn't, he threw 153, and that's because, like, he missed the first month, but then just pitched fine after that. Consistently been a strikeout machine, where Gilbert's kind of improving on that. We've had four straight years of a 21% K to walk from Zach Wheeler, which has been awesome. We've had a guy with a whip basically around 1.05 or below one over the last 4 or 5 years. That is elite as well. Because I'm, you know, big whip guy over here. Just remember that. And then ERA, sub three ERA in three of the last four seasons. I'm not going to use the COVID season to make it four out of five. It's just been a consistent stretch of dominance from Zach Wheeler, even in a great ballpark. Now, the age thing, that's where I'd be like, okay, fair, valid point. 35 years old this year. That's eventually you're going to break down. That's reality. We saw Verlander go till he was like 38, 39. Mm-hmm. So there's no saying Wheeler can't do it again. I just, what we've seen from him time and time again, Gilbert has built into that. Like, he's got there. He hasn't done it as much as Wheeler, but he's got there. So I'm fine with that. That's why I have him fourth. But for me, I got Zach Wheeler third for all the reasons I mentioned.
All good reasons. And one thing I'll just add with Zach Wheeler is he's been able to dominate while not throwing as hard lately. So in 2021, Wheeler was pumping 97 average fastball velocity. That's now down to 95 in 2024. And I say that like it's a bad thing, but it's not, right? He has learned to pitch and pitch very well with 2 miles an hour less on his fastball, dropping from 97 to 95. So that's another kind of, what's the phrase? Feather in Wheeler's cap. There you go.
He might be old enough for a feather in a cap type guy, so it's fair.
What do old people, what, do they wear caps?
Well, back in that, the phrase is old, so it means old guys used to do this thing. That was the point.
Okay.
Carry on.
So no, I have zero qualms about Zach Wheeler. Like, yeah, if you want to take him third, I totally get it. At some point it's going to break down, but there's no sign in the skills yet for me to say that's going to happen in 2025.
All right, now things get fun. The top four we're pretty much in lockstep with for the most part. We agree with these top four pitchers. Now things change. At number five, the ADP says Logan Gilbert. We already got there. At number four, ADP is Garrett Crochet. Okay. At number five, I have Dylan Cease. You have Garrett Crochet. I have Crochet six, so we're close there. I'll give you the floor first before I just drop the bomb on Dylan Cease, because you have Dylan Cease at 11.
I got Cease at 11?
And his ADP Ouch. Is 11. His ADP is 11 as well. So okay. I'm way ahead on this one, but we'll see. I'll let you have the Crochet floor first.
I mean, I just think the comp's been thrown around there. It's an easy comp. I wouldn't say it's a lazy comp, but this this feels like Tarik Skubal from last year, where someone who hasn't had like the full workload, but Garrett Crochet has Skubal-type skills, Skeens-type skills, and did it over 146 innings last year. And the reason it was 146 innings last year is because he was correctly throttled in the second half with the White Sox in order to preserve and ultimately trade Garrett Crochet to Boston. So I just think we can project. What do I have Crochet projected for? I got him for 170 innings. I don't see why he can't do that. He would have done it last year if not being slowed down in the second half. And if you get 170 innings, hell, if you even get 160 innings of what Garrett Crochet did last year, and again, the swinging strike backed up the elite K rate, super control, like this, I think this is a Cy Young candidate. Forecaster agrees, and taking a little bit of a leap of faith that the innings will jump from 146 to 160, 170, but I think that's totally doable on a team that should be better in terms of wins than the White Sox last year.
Wins for sure, 100% should be better. I have Crochet six, so I'm not opposed to where you have him. I think he's very good. The hard part for me on draft day is it still is a bit of a gamble to me, it feels like, just because we need to see him finish the season on the full workload. Like, not saying it's not possible, but for a guy that has never started a game till last year, that's a heck of a jump. Like a really, really big jump with what took place there with Garrett Crochet. So it's just, again, it's the cautious approach that I take to drafting. And I took some Crochet earlier because he's going a lot later technically compared to where he's going now.
I was
going to
say, I thought you had, it sounds like you're not drafting him, but you took him early on. He was going to,
he was going like later at one point, because I have the ADP on the side there. But if we just look right now, his ADP is 22. He's in the middle of round two. I think he was going around threes or round three and round four early on in draft season, like the October, November drafts. I got shares like round four, Garrett Crochet. I was over the moon for that. Because like right now, if we're talking ADP, like round four ADP now, man, you got to scroll down to pitcher. Like, you're talking Felix Bautista, Garrett Cole, Cole Reagans, Michael King. Like, that's a big difference in talent, as you can see by our rankings there at Crochet and that group. So, that's where I sit on Crochet. I'm a little nervous, but I get it. If you want to take him, I think there's an elite talent there, and it makes sense he's going near Chris Sale as well. Yeah. All right. Dylan Cease, everybody.
This is your guy, man. Top five. Holy hell.
Yeah. His ADP is, he's the 11th starting pitcher off the board. ADP is 46 over the last 10 drafts right now. Dylan Cease is only going to be 29. Honestly, I thought he's been pitching forever. It felt like maybe it's because when you're a White Sox, life goes very slowly for you. but this is a guy that I used to heckle a lot because of the whip situation. The whip is still questionable, like 107 last year. Then we saw 142, within 111. So it's a roller coaster with him, as we've noted on this show before. But the things I love with Cease: 184, 177, 189 innings. So he's thrown 32 or more starts in four straight years. So workhorse, going to go out there every single day. He's got that workhorse build that we kind of mentioned with Paul Skeens. What I also love is a 21% K to walk last year. He's basically had a 27% or better strikeout rate in the last four seasons. And what that equates to, because something I'm trying to do more of, is pay attention to strikeouts. He has had a 214 or more strikeouts in four straight seasons. When we talk about A, the amount of injuries with pitchers, and B, just like elite pitchers, 214 plus strikeouts. I believe there's only 10 or 11 pitchers at 200 plus last year. He's projected for 200 plus again this year. That stands out to me. Like, will my ratios get screwed up? Yes. But at the same time, try projecting ratios and tell me what actually ends up at the end. Like, you can't do that. But if you have innings pitched, you can project strikeouts. Like, that is something you can project out of all the stats that a guy, if you can project innings. So I have Cease up there because he's going to get you a ton of innings. I still think the Padres won a decent amount of games. He might get traded right now. The Cubs and the Mets are interested in Dylan Cease. That could actually be an upgrade, all things considered, for win context, because the Padres kind of thrown in the towel. It's the strikeouts for me. Like, if I miss out on the Skeens, Scuba, Wheeler, Gilberts that are elite strikeout guys, and I don't trust Crochet and Sale, maybe it comes down to Snell and Cease. I'll take the workhorse and Cease. That's because literally after Gilbert, it's Sale, injury, you know, coming off a big year. Do we trust it? DeGrom, we'll get to that. Corbin Burns, strikeout decline. Kirby doesn't strike anybody out. Snell, can we trust his innings? Then you have Cease. Like, that's the most consistent strikeout guy after like Logan Gilbert right now. So I'll take Dylan Cease all day at number five. I have a lot of shares of Dylan Cease.
So you say George Kirby doesn't strike anyone out.
He was better this past year.
Had 179 Ks last year.
179. You know good. How many Dylan Cease had? He had 224, almost 50 more. Almost. Do you know how many 50 is compared to the rest of your rankings in Roto? That is tremendous.
Yeah. Do you also know what a one whip of Kirby is compared to whatever Cease is going to throw out there? I'll beer bet you now. I'll do Kirby.
Cease had a 107 whip last. We are not debating whips of Cease versus Kirby. You can go fly a kite on that one.
Yes, we are.
You're not. You better give me a cushion.
I'm saying overall for 2025.
Oh, Cease overall. So I thought you wanted to bet whips. I'm like, no. Kirby's will be better than Cease. I'm not stupid.
I won't. Yeah, that's a sucker play.
Yeah, so you want to do better overall on the player rate, or Kirby versus Cease? You got it.
Deal. And I guess that's what we have to do, because I'll talk about Cease in just a sec, but I've got Kirby 7th, Cease 11th. You've got Cease 5th and Kirby 11th.
We have Cease and Kirby at the same number on ours.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's fair.
So for me, all right, I'll put that in, Kirby versus Cease. For me, it's I get you on the K's. I think for me, it's hard to. I have Cease projected for a 350 ERA, 125 whip. It's hard to, and I hear your point about like trying to project ratios. There's a lot of noise in that, more so ERA than actual whip. It's hard to hit your ratios when your ace is basically your target for ratios. Like, you need to improve your ratios even more after taking your ace if you take Dylan Cease. And again, you can do that. You can do things like take a Logan Webb later. You could pair Kirby with Cease and do it. It's just you're like right at or behind the eight ball in your ratios if you take Dylan Cease as your SP1. And to be behind a target with your ace just seems kind of weird. So I don't know
who I've paired Cease with a lot? Shota,
who has decent ratio. That would make sense. Yeah, that would make sense.
And he's about a K per nine guy, so he's not crushing me in Ks either.
Yep.
So that's about a common pairing.
No, I get it if you want to go Cease, because, those strikeouts, as Dylan Cease is, this was in the forecast, are the only pitcher in baseball with four seasons of 200-plus Ks. And to do that while still be under 30 is pretty damn sweet. So I get it. Just know, like, you need to start hammering ratios after that. And that might limit your options a little bit later.
And this mindset might serve me better for doing the standalone leads we've talked about, instead of the overall competitions where, you know, if I don't finish at the top in ERA and whip, just finish mid pack, but dominate everything else, we're good. Just try to talk my way through it.
Man, Razzball Player Rater last year, Cease was 29th and Kirby was 55th.
Wow. Not even close. They call that a bloodbath, a blowout. Do we want to? Hey, how about this? We'll insert this rule now if you want for all the bets, for all of them, because we know like different player raters value different things. So what if we do the average between Fangraphs and Razzball, because they're two different player raters? Sure, I don't know if it'll matter in this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just throwing out ideas to make it a little closer for you.
Let me just take the one that has ceased the worst and we'll go with that.
Fair enough. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. Why am I talking about George Kirby? He's not even.
We're going to talk about him shortly. But at six, ADP Chris Sale, I have Garrett Crochet. You have Chris Sale. I already mentioned my Crochet thoughts. I'm pretty much. The only thing is, do I trust the health? Do I trust the full load? What do you got on Chris Sale? Because to me, it's similar to Crochet for me. I have Sale at seven. So, yeah.
It is, except Sale's much older, but Sale is coming off 178 inning season. So, I mean, Sale has shown the ability just last year to be able to get through a full season. Sale, I have not ended up with. I struggle, and this is where, again, rankings. I struggle to take Chris Sale in drafts right now. I want to see, again, given the way that Chris Sale ended the season, I want to see Chris Sale at least pitch 10 innings in spring training, and then I feel very confident in this number. But again, I don't need to go too far into the skills on Chris Sale. Last year, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, it was almost at a Skeen Skubal level, and he did it for 178 innings. So again, this will move down if Chris Sale does not look good this spring, of course. And I, again, hesitate to take him when I haven't even seen him yet. But this ranking at six overall for me is more just assuming that Chris Sale looks like Chris Sale this spring and he's good to go. So I think if that's the case, Chris Sale he may even creep into early second round, late 1-2 turn if he's healthy spring and when we're in Vegas for those main events. So he's really good and he's coming off 180 inning season. So, and he's on a team that will score some runs, I think, this year.
Yeah, no, if you want to just take the old man risk with Sale, I think it's a great pick. Honestly, I'd probably have him if you trust him. See, I don't trust him as much. I wouldn't be opposed if you took him ahead of Dylan Cease even. I'd be fine with that. I just don't have much Sale either. I'm with you on everything you mentioned. Seventh pitcher off the board is Jacob DeGrom. I have Chris Sale. You have George Kirby, so give your Kirby love now, and we'll talk to DeGrom a little later on the show.
I mean, I kind of did, right? For me, it's I think the low strikeout rate, and it is a low strikeout rate. Well, it's average, 23% each of the last two seasons for George Kirby. that's a little bit of a misnomer in fantasy because he does throw so many innings, 191 innings each of the last two seasons, that comes out to 170 plus strikeouts in each of the last two seasons. Like, that's not, I hear all the time, Kirby doesn't strike anyone out. He does. I mean, he's not like an elite strikeout guy, but 170 plus Ks is pretty good when you factor in he has like the best walk rate in the majors and pretty much an ironclad whip. So just score some. I mean, even won 14 games on the Mariners last year because he is so efficient, pitches deep into games. He could win 20 games. The Mariners ever decide to score some runs. I don't think they will, but it's possible given how deep Kirby goes into games. So I just think the whip, the Ks aren't really much of a detriment, and the volume with those wins, I think, for George Kirby is why I've got him seventh. And market's got him ninth, so it's nothing too crazy.
And I have him 11, so the market's in between the two of us. So yeah, might not be as far off as you think I am in that one. So we'll see. All right, the eighth pitcher off the board is Corbin Burnes. I have Blake Snell at eight, so I have three lefties in a row. You have Framber Valdez at eight. I have Framber down at 14, and that feels weird. So I'll let you have the floor first. What puts Framber at number eight for you?
I am hedging a little bit that the second half Framber Valdez is that we saw in 2024, which was an elite strikeout rate while also maintaining an elite ground ball rate, is what we're going to see next season. It was a pitch mix change to back up that second half surge for Framber. He's got an elite changeup, threw it more than ever in the second half. So that's what I'm banking on, is that holding into 2025. Everything else with Framber, I am a sucker for ground ball guys. It's 59% ground ball rate that's what Framber had last year. He's been in the 60s before. It just basically locks in a low ERA. Framber's an innings pitch machine, a wins machine. If you're in quality starts leagues, a quality start machine. Not going to have like the best ERA out there. It was a 2.91 last year, but yeah, given the ground ball rate, the uptick in Ks, if that holds, Framber Valdez for me is a top 10 starting pitcher. I'm kind of going out on a limb on that one because the market does have Framber 15th. I'm getting a ton of Framber Valdez in fifth rounds of 15 teamers. And if you go with the Bubba build and 12 teamers, you can wait till the sixth round and start with Framber Valdez as your SP1. I think that's a path to success this year. Okay.
Yeah, the last 10 DCs, ADP 63. So he's on the 5-6 turn right now, which is really sweet. Like an awesome SP2. I'm with you on that. I had a tough time ranking Framber because I agree with the second half stuff you mentioned there. I'm on board with all that. It's just, do I trust it? It's like you said, you're going on a limb. Right. Yeah. It's also like, and we'll get to some of the guys going, I have ranked ahead of Framber. And it's almost like the first glob to me, where if you wanted to move guys around, I'm cool with it. Like, I'm not going to be opposed to saying you want him over X, Y, or Z. We're going to talk about in a minute. Totally get it. And like, it's like the top 6-7 guys, it feels like, are kind of there. And then it starts getting into pockets of the draft. Mm-hmm. And so Framber's, maybe he could be the top, the bottom of the pocket, kind of how we have it sit together here. I have Blake Snell, and this is one. Yeah,
let's see. What are we doing here?
This one, I'm already starting to like want to walk back a little bit here. And again, this is why rankings are fun. Like, I still think. I still think 170 plus innings of Blake Snell is elite. I think it's going to be Chris Sale, like we saw last year. We've seen him win the Cy Young type stuff with Sale. We saw the second half dominance. So if we want to believe in Framber Valdez's second half, why do we not believe in Blake Snell's? That's fair. He's going to be on a better Dodgers team, obviously better than the Giants. So wins should come in bunches. Like, we haven't seen a 20-win pitcher in a long time. Snell could. Snell definitely could on that team. That doesn't happen very often. Strikeouts will be there. It all comes down to walks with him. We know how he pitches. That's just the Blake Snell blueprint in a nutshell. It comes down to health. He had that abductor injury twice last year. Like, for the second one is because he came back too early. They admitted that. That was just foolish on their part. So the biggest reason I'm worried about having him this high is now with all the signings, the six-man rotations, all that kind of goofiness in LA, it's going to limit his starts, which could be a good thing at the same time with Blake Snell, if you think about it. So instead of like 34 starts, maybe it's 27, 28, like really strong starts. So I just think if Snell pitches all year, regardless of numbers of starts, if he gets you 160, 170, 180 innings, these are going to be elite innings on the Dodgers, and that's where I have him ranked at 8. Like it, what we saw with Chris Sale last year at 178 innings, Crochet at 146, Blake Snell could do that as well.
Okay, yeah. I think the Dodgers with Snell is a little bit of a double-edged sword. You mentioned like the six-man. The Dodgers know they're going to probably win the West and definitely make the playoffs. Like there's no reason. They need to set their rotation up for October. And if that means phantom IL stints or even just rest for Blake Snell throughout the season, so be it. I just worry about Blake Snell. Everything you said is good. It's just and what you started off with was 170 innings of Blake Snell is elite, and I agree with you. It's just he hasn't.
I know. Like, I get it.
Innings the last 4 years: 129, 128, 180, 119. And again, with the Dodgers, like he doesn't pitch deep in the game, so even the Dodgers will score a ton of runs. But it is hard to win games, even if you're on the Dodgers when you five and dive. And
which he wasn't doing in the second half last year.
Agreed, but he was on an epic tear in the second half. So, and we've
seen him do it before.
We have, but yeah, those are just reasons why I'm a little bit off of Blake Snell is the lack of volume. Really, that's what it comes down to.
No, and that's why I kind of was thinking like walking it back a bit here. The one thing I'll kind of come back to you on is the phantom ILs with the Dodgers. I'm not as honed in on this year for the fact that you look at the rest of their rotation that's already injury prone. If Snell's healthy, there's no phantom IL. Like they might need him to pitch. They actually paid him more than most of the other guys in the rotation. Like Sasaki's already saying he skipped getting Tommy John surgery. So let's see how that goes. You got Glass. It's just fittings in his name, so on and so forth. Like Snell might have to pitch. That's again, you're just shooting for
over under IL stints for Blake Snell this year. 1.5.
Yeah, over.
Over.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, just checking.
Just be realistic. I hope it's not, but let's be realistic here.
Just throwing a number on it there.
Yeah, it's fair. All right. Let's move on to number 9 on the list here. George Kirby coming at 9 on ADP. I have Jacob DeGrom. You have your boy Pablo Lopez. I have 15. Again, it's a blob. I can understand. I have a ton of Framber and Pablo and Underdog. And speaking of Underdog Fantasy, by the way, if you're interested in joining Underdog and you enjoyed our show on Tuesday night, if you want to do higher lowers, if you want to do weekly contests, if you want to do the best ball season long we talked about, use promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word, to get a first time deposit match up to $1,000. Okay, why do you have Pablo Lopez at number 9?
Because I have an irrational love for the man. I think that's
you said it. So I appreciate the honesty right there.
This might be a little aggressive, but I also agree with you. This is like I could have Pablo, and I've got him behind Snell. I could see taking maybe not Snell, but Cease over Lopez, Cole Reagans. I could see that too. So this is kind of one of those rankings where a few spots is not too much. But I mean, I don't know. Anyone who's listened to the show for any period of time knows I love Pablo Lopez, 180 plus innings in each of the last 3 seasons, which is awesome. The swinging strike, everything looks great. Really, this was just a bad first half for Pablo Lopez last season. It was a 4.88 ERA in the first half and went down to 3.25 in the second half. So I think that was just bad luck, terrible luck for Pablo Lopez. It pained me to go through that first half of 2024. So I just think, and he's 28 still, like I think the volume is as good as, almost as good as like a Dylan Cease type volume. You're not going to get the K's, but I think you get ratios that are just as good. That's why I have those, or if not better, that's why I have those guys right next to each other. So maybe a little bit aggressive, but it's for the brand. I love Pablo, and so Pablo needs to be in my top 10.
Yeah, Pablo's ADP 65 right after Framber Valdez right now.
Yep. I'd love to draft a team that is Framber, Pablo. I haven't been able to do it yet, but it's Framber, Pablo, SP1 and 2 with like 4 hitters to start. I don't know. You may not be able to do that in 15 teamers anymore, but in 12s, I would love that.
You know where you could do it? Auction listener leagues. You could definitely make that happen. Yeah.
I don't think no one listens to the show that's in the listener league, though. So I'm sure their prices will be skyrocketing. Super cheap.
At least in your draft. That'd be a fun one to see the dichotomy of your draft versus the rest of them. But yeah, I have nothing against Pablo per se. It's just I guess I prefer some of these other guys over him. I agree with these. Like the innings are there, strikeouts are there, ratios aren't like off the charts. Like they're great, but not they're not great, but they're very good. If that makes sense. So I got nothing against Pablo.
And I listened to your Twins preview with Mendy. Yeah, he made a really good point. He was because Mendelsohn watches the Twins in and out, and he's just like, some days Pablo doesn't have it, and when he doesn't have it.
It's rough.
He does not have it.
He's had the blow-ups.
Yeah. And I thought that was a pretty good point from someone who watches a ton of Pablo Lopez.
Yep. All right. I have Jacob deGrom at 9. You have him at 29. So we won't be talking about your pick later on. But I have him at 9. ADP has him at 7. So I'm 2 picks after. Honestly, I really could have put him farther down the board. But in my brain, I'm saying, okay, yes, if he throws 140 innings, he's probably closer to top 5 than bottom half. That's a gigantic if with Jacob deGrom, because as many people have noted, when you talk about Jacob deGrom, this guy has thrown 10, 30, 64, 92, 68. Those are the innings pitch counts since 2020. That's not good, Bob. That's not good at all. So part of me has him at 9, thinking, okay, if he pitches X amount, he's fine. I won't draft him anywhere at his ADP. But like I said at the beginning of the show, sometimes I just rank guys because you need to have him ranked, because there's some guys that have him like as the Joe Arrico, love the man, like a brother from another mother. He has him as like one of the top pitchers, the
number
top
one pitcher, I think,
in fantasy. Yes. Yeah. And he gives valid arguments. I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. So deGrom is going to be one of the more polarizing picks the entire draft season. And our rankings put a perfect bow on that polarizing aspect.
And again, so like it doesn't matter if you have deGrom 9th or 29th. You're not getting him either way. So like, again, that's the other thing with the rankings is like, would you actually take deGrom 9th? I don't know. You won't have to make that decision because he will be gone. It's all about the innings. This is nothing groundbreaking, but just to put some numbers to it, by default, average of steamer and the bat put Jacob deGrom at 129 innings. That makes him the number 8 pitcher, according to the projection aggregator rankings tool that we've got on the Patreon, where you can adjust these innings. If I take Jacob deGrom and give him 160 innings, he is number 3, right behind Tarik Skubal and Paul Skenes. This is just the pure math of it. If I give Jacob deGrom 100, which is where I personally have Jacob deGrom, he is outside the top 20. And so that's why I have Jacob deGrom outside the top 20. I get the health argument that he came back last year. He pitched. His elbow is surgically repaired and thus should be good to go. I get that. It's just not in my DNA to project someone for something he hasn't done in 4 or 5 years. And even if I do that, again, if I give him 100, 110 innings, if I give DeGrom the benefit of the doubt, he's still outside the top 20. So, if you get 160, 170 of DeGrom this year and you pick him as like the 4th or 5th starting pitcher, you hit the jackpot. Kudos. And I'll eat my words. But none of us can really predict how many innings he will throw.
Exactly. 10th off the board is Blake Snell. I have Corbin Burnes at 10. I had Snell at 8. You have Snell at 10. You're in line with this one. Did you have anything else to add to Snell, or do you want me to talk Burnes here?
Yeah, talk Burnes, because I've got Burnes lower, I think.
Yeah, you have Burnes at 17. So 10 to 17 here is a big drop off. And this is fine. It's like, this is what it's all about when it comes to rankings, especially at pitching. It's wild child. But similar to Cease, he's an innings machine. He's seen 193 or more innings in 3 straight years. Big fantasy in that. So we've seen 32 starts or more. Another horse. It's been a sub-3 ERA, 2 out of 3 years, 3.4 ERA in 3 straight years, which is great. Ratio's much better than Dylan Cease. Even when the ERA has been high, it's been a 0.94 to a 1.1 ratio in the last 5 seasons, 6 out of 7 seasons. He's thrown elite whips out there. The biggest thing, we talked about it a lot, when he was awesome for 3 years in a row, he had a plus 30% K rate and a 24%, 30%, 27% K to walk. The last 2 years, strikeouts have dropped to 25.5, then dropped to 23 last year. So we've seen a massive drop-off. And that's why his ADP is dropping as well, as the strikeout numbers. Still got you 181 Ks last year. So if you want to talk George Kirby, sup. 200 strikeouts 3 years prior to that. I'm slowly going back on the Burnes train here. A lot of it's because of where he's getting drafted. Like, he's 8th. in ADP. At the same time, he's still falling in certain drafts. And that's what makes him interesting to me. Like a Burns as an SP2, quite attractive, especially if I pair it with Dylan Cease. Now I got ratio help. I got strikeouts, like at least decent. Like if you consider George Kirby strikeouts good, then Dylan Cease's strikeouts are good. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think in reality, Burns and Kirby shouldn't be that far apart if you really want to have the discussion, and I have them right next to each other. So what do you have on Corbin Burns?
No, you covered it well. For me, it is the declining strikeouts. I have heard, I don't, it's hard to quantify this, but I have heard intelligent people say Corbin Burns can strike people out. He just doesn't want to. He wants to go deep into games, and he's yep. pitching more efficiently. There could be
something. The Logan Webb approach, basically.
The Logan Webb approach, exactly. Or even like the Blake Snell approach, where he just doesn't give in to hitters, and that's why his walk rate is high. So, like, yeah, I certainly accept that argument. I just worry with Corbin Burns, again, that K rate, 36 down to 30, down to 26, down to 23% last year. For someone who's not young anymore, he is in his 30s. He's got a lot of innings on that arm. It's just that general trend. And that's why I have Kirby above Burns, is they are on separate ends of the age spectrum. So that's kind of the reasoning there. But I totally get that I may have Kirby Burns too low, because if he wants to strike more people out, the folks think he has the stuff to be able to do that. I just need to see that play out on the field before I do that. And thus, I'm not ending up with any Corbin Burns, most likely.
Last thing I'll add before we go to the next one is Burns going back to Arizona. There's been a lot of good articles on why he wanted to go back there. The family thing, it really made a mess of him in Baltimore, he said, not being around his family. So, again, you can't put a number to that, but there's got to be something to being more relaxed and happy at home when he's on the mound. So.
Hey, Arizona living.
I love it. We talk about it all the time. Yeah, I do in a heartbeat as well.
Good time. People see him at Dobson. People see him out there.
Dude, let's go. All right. Number 11 off the board, Dylan Cease. I have Kirby. You have Cease. We've kind of talked about both. Do you have anything to add there? Besides the fact you have Cease way too low.
Pair them together. We can join in that pairing, SP1 and 2, and you can be good.
All right. 12th off the board is Cole Reagans. I have Cole Reagans 12th. You have Cole Reagans 12th. Wow, we're actually in line with ADP and each other. What do you have on Reagans?
Jesus. That's rare.
Yeah. First time on the show outside of Skeen Scoobal, which is boring.
Yeah. And again, I hope this is good for listeners. I hope, we're not just arguing just to argue. We do have differences in some of these guys, and hopefully that helps you make your decision. You're better set up for success if you side on my end of the deal than Bubba's, but we get it. Cole Reagans, for me, he proved that he could throw a full starter's workload last year and do so with basically the same, if not slightly better skills than what we saw from Cole Reagans in 2023. It was that for me with Reagans last year, it was a show me you can do it season. And Cole Reagans absolutely did that with 186 innings of a 15% strikeout rate. Like, that's awesome. Age 26 season. Can't see why Cole Reagans doesn't do this again. So I curbed the walk rate even from 11% down to 9% last year with a ball rate that backs up those control gains. So everything for Cole Reagans looks good. I think he's a legit top 15 pitcher.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we saw the strikeout gains. We saw the innings. The question is, can he do it again? It was almost 100 or like a 90 inning jump last year. So that's big. Like, as we talked about it, I almost want to flip him and Snell in my rankings, honestly. But that's another conversation for another day, probably. But that's where I'm kind of sitting with these discussions.
Yeah, I've got Snell ahead of Reagans too.
Yeah, why would I have, to me, if Snell threw as many innings as Reagans, different story. But yeah, with Reagans doing it, why do I not? Because he had 223 Ks last year. If I love Cease for the strikeouts, why do I not have? So this is why we talk things out, folks.
Yeah,
this is
we might both have Reagans too low.
Yeah, I think
I'm even though it's in line with ADP.
And just behind the scenes, if you're on Patreon, sometime next week, you'll be getting the entire set of rankings in a Google Doc that you can access. And we will be updating things as we see fit. And something tells me Cole Reagans will be moved up in my rankings for sure. Maybe Ryan's as well.
You might even see Joe Ryan be ranked.
Yeah, and Carlos Rodon. Let's see how this one goes. All right, 13th off the board is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I have Shota Umanaga. You have Bailey Ober. I have Yamamoto at 21. You have him at 14. So you're close to this, but let's start with this. You have Bailey Ober here. I have Ober at 19, and Ober is a guy I want to rank higher. I just don't know how to put him over some of these guys. Again, blob type stuff. What do you have on Bailey Ober?
I think Bailey Ober is a budding ace.
Yeah,
I think Bailey Ober is a budding ace. I think the volume's been there, 167 and 179 innings the past two seasons. The whip, this is, I've said this before, Bailey Ober is the poster boy of everyone, myself included, overemphasizing ERA. ERA wasn't great last year, right, for Bailey Ober. It's a 398, like not good, but a one flat whip and 191 strikeouts. Like there are not many pitchers in baseball that have, I should probably look this up, but 190 Ks and a one flat whip. Like that is really good. Bailey Ober is an extreme fly ball pitcher too. So for me, it's a little bit, it's like the anti-Framber. I love those extreme ground ball guys, but I love extreme either way. If you're an extreme fly ball guy, yeah, homers can hurt. And that's why we see an elevated ERA from Bailey Ober, but your whip is just like locked in with all those fly balls. Fly balls just do not fall in for hits very often, especially when you have a really good walk rate and a really good strikeout rate like Bailey Ober has. Two seasons in a row of a 20% plus strikeout minus walk and age 29 season. So, not super young anymore, but like this is Bailey Ober's prime. So I think Bailey Ober can take a major step forward this year.
Yeah, I don't oppose you. That's why he's another guy I'd like to have higher. And as we talk out some more guys, maybe I'll move things around. But I like a lot of this grouping right here. I guess it's kind of more of a team needs. Do you want to like, maybe I need to focus more on the strikeouts again with Ober. You mentioned how many he had last year. The ratios maybe jump as well. So, yeah, he's a very, very good pitcher, and I probably have him too low. I just got to figure out who I move him around.
That's the thing. Like you also, yeah, I mean, that's tough. A lot. You can't move ahead of Pablo, can you?
See, that's where I was looking like, no, but I think he's better than Pablo, honestly.
Yeah, you can.
I think he is better than Pablo.
I would listen to that argument.
But then like the Schwellenbach people talk, like there's some differing factors here. Like I could see, yeah. Okay. I'm just going to circle here in a minute. I have Shota here. Everyone knows I'm in love with Shota Monaga. It's kind of how you are with Pablo Lopez. I loved how we saw him throw 29 innings and 173 innings last year, or 29 starts, 173 innings, which I don't think many expected that much out of Shota in his first season in the bigs. I loved the 2.91 ERA, even with that massive blow up he had. We saw a 102 whip and a 21% K to walk. All outstanding. Projections haven't taken a step back in most categories. That's fine. They also haven't taken a pretty good, well, some haven't taken a step forward. Some haven't taken a pretty good step back in innings pitched as well. I don't see the reasoning behind a massive drop off. I get there should be some. I'm not naive to that situation, but Shota's dang good. He limits hard contact. He gets swings and misses. Like he's a very, very good pitcher. So even if it's a low three ERA and like a 1-1 whip, I think the strikeouts will still be there. I think he's gonna be quite serviceable. So, and maybe another year around the bigs, we saw that him make adjustments in the second half and start dominating yet again. So I'm a big Shota fan. I think there's another level to him. And unlike a lot of these guys here, well, weirdly enough, we've talked about all the young arms. He is going to be 31. So take that with whatever you want to take there, because I don't think we all think he's that old. But I'm just higher on Shota than some others, maybe. But maybe that's just me being biased.
So I think I've got Shota too low. I've got him at 22. 21. But this is also, I mean, to again, put some numbers on this. I've got Shota down for 360 ERA, 110 whip. 11 wins, 25% K rate. I don't know why I have him for 165. He threw 173 last year. Like, why can't he just do that again? If I bump Shota, and this is just an example of how tight this is. If I bump Shota from 165 to 175 innings, he goes from my SP22 to SP15. So he's right there. And again, in 10 innings, I've said a couple times now, but like, how can we project someone down to 10 innings difference? So I probably have him and Naga a little bit too low. Like, I think I would take, I have him behind Nola and Castillo. I think I'd take him and Naga over both of those guys 100%. Right now. I just really like to, not only did Shota make it through the full season with a full workload, but he actually got better in the second half while doing it. It's not like he just limped to the finish. The skills actually improved in the second half. More whiffs, better strikeout minus walk. So that's just a really good sign that Shota can handle a full MLB workload. So I will be moving Shota up slightly. I think he's probably borderline top 15 for me.
Yeah, I have him at 13. You have him 21. ADP has him 19. So it's, again, blobby situation. How do you want to go about it? 14 is Gerrit Cole. Neither one of us have him close to 14, so that's fun. I have Framber Valdez. I already spoke my piece on him. You have Yoshinobu Yamamoto at 14, where I have Yamamoto at 21. Enlighten me on your Yamamoto excitement here, because I understand the argument that's going to come, and I'm not like opposed to it, so I just want to hear it from you.
I'm going out on a health limb, similar to what I was just saying with Chris Sale. This may change when I see Yamamoto in spring. I want to see him pitch. So this is somewhat assuming that. I just think the skills are really good. Last year was an outlier in terms of innings for Yamamoto overseas. The last three seasons, it was 194, 193, 157 innings pitched, and then of course just 90. But did finish the season last year. Just 26 years old. So unless something's really wrong with his elbow, there's no aging to consider. And I think if you give Yamamoto, what do I have him projected for? 150 innings. He actually comes out 13th for me, starting pitcher, but I knocked him down. I've got him 14th. So that's with 150 innings. So I'm somewhat assuming the health comes back, and maybe that's not a smart thing to do when you're taking a starting pitcher this early. Yamamoto may be one where when I'm in the draft room and I had click draft player next to him, it's a hard click.
Yes.
It's a hard click.
So, and that's my thing. I think the talent's legit. We saw it in the postseason, a small sample. Like, it's very, very good. To me, it's a combination of health. And if you want to talk about Blake Snell getting limited starts,
sure.
Yamamoto as well. That's how I basically put him at the bottom of this glob that we're talking about right now. But talent-wise, amazing. I just can't trust the workload at all. 15th is Framber Valdez in ADP. I have Pablo Lopez. You have Michael King. We've already talked Pablo. What do you have on Michael King? So I have King 16th where his ADP is. So we're pretty much online with ADP there.
Yeah, we're pretty much in line. It's just how Michael King has been able to, again, show us that he can not only handle a MLB workload, but do so with really good skills. I mean, there was a slight drop in K-minus walk from 22 now to 19%, but 19% for a starter is really good. And another guy who improved in the second half, both slightly in strikeouts and walks, while reaching a career high in workload, 174 innings compared to 105 the year before. So I just think Michael King, similar to what I said about Imanaga, showed he can handle the full workload, improved a little bit in the second half, still in his 20s, towards the end of his 20s, but like I think Michael King's pretty safe here. I don't think the ceiling is like super, super high, but I think some slight pullback from his 295 ERA, but outside of that, can get you 200 Ks, good whip, good number of wins with San Diego. I like the overall package for Michael King.
So do I. He proved he could do it, like you said, and I feel like I need to go higher because as you're talking, I'm looking at sub 3 ERA, like 112 or whatever it was, whip, the K to walk, was very good. 201 strikeouts. Like, looking at his stat line, it's almost Corbin Burns right now.
Yeah.
And I got Burns at 10 and King at 16. You have King at 15, Burns at 17, which is fair. ADP has him 8 to 16, pretty separated. It's a lot of Spider-Man gif with these two. Burns might have a little more in the innings department, but very, very similar. So I might need, and again, King's another guy I need more guys to move. This is crazy. Maybe DeGrom just goes.
Maybe DeGrom just goes. Yeah, bring him down.
Just get the hell out of here.
Come on, bring him on down to where I am off the freaking sheet.
Yeah, get him on. Because I got all these other guys I want over him. This is where it's frustrating.
Do you worry, because this is one of your things, at least early in draft season, do you worry about the year after the innings jump from 105 to 174 for King?
Always, because I've mentioned it with even Cole Reagans, who we love. He had like a 90 innings jump. But yeah, I think the way injuries happen now, I'll just take the skill sets as long as I've seen them make the jump, where it's like there's other guys that haven't done it per se, and plus I'm not paying a premium ADP like Tariq Skubal, so there's a couple differences there. If I'm drafting a Michael King, he's playing my SP2, I like my offensive core, so on and so forth, so that changes things a bit. I don't trust my pitchers to stay healthy as far as I can throw them, so just like the fact the fact he's done it, okay, like we're gonna go. And and the Padres just signed out an extension. So knock on wood, you know, you'd assume he's healthy for now. We assume they all are. That could obviously change. But I get where you're coming from, and there is a lot there to it, because I made the Yamamoto argument, but there's more than just injury, it's just workload in general with Yamamoto. All right. At 17 is Pablo Lopez, who we've talked about. I have Schwellenbach. You have Burns. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to Corbin Burns on that one?
No, I'm interested in your Schwelly take. I've got him 23rd. It's a little behind you, but.
This is one of those where you could have Schwelly higher. You could have him lower like Ryan. I could listen to a ton of arguments on Schwellenbach here. But like, if you look at the overall stat line, 123 innings, 3.35 ERA, doesn't come jump off the board compared to other guys we've talked about here. The 104 whip is great. He's had a good whip throughout all of the minors. 21% K to walk was a plus as well. So the dude had 127 Ks and 123 innings. What I loved is just the utter dominance in the second half of the season from Schwellenbach. Like, we talked about Framber Valdez second half. We talked about Shota's second half. Schwelly might have been better than both of them in the grand scheme of things. Like, he was lights out good. Like, it was him versus Snell more often than not on who was having the better second half. And Schwellenbach was that good. He's going to be on a very good team in Atlanta. He's got 123 innings. So the innings jump is not nearly as drastic as other pitchers we talked about before. And plus, he had the minor league innings to top on top of it. Workload should be no issue. The Braves rotation needs Schwelly to be in that rotation every fifth day. So that's out of the question, too. I just love what we saw last year. I think he's like you talk about, and I love Ober too. That's why I think Ober's too low, but who do I take him over? I think Ober's a Buddy Nace. I think Schwellenbach's a Buddy Nace. Like, he's ready to take over for sale when he's out of the way in a year or two. So Schwellenbach's a major just upside pick at this point. ADP has him at 20. So ADP has him in the middle of me and you. But I get it if you want to take something that's been done before, you've seen it before, all those things. I just think Schwellenbach's a guy that could take that jump. We always talk about that jump, and I think he's that guy.
Yeah, I think that's my problem. I've got many problems, but this is one of my problems, is I want to see someone do it before I and I miss out on a lot of that. Because Schwellenbach was a very quick riser through the minors. And like workload, you said, not a concern. I mean, it was only 137 innings last year total. Again, what I'm doing right now is trying to find reasons not to take Schwellenbach, and I don't think that's a proper approach.
You should probably try to find reasons to take
Schwellenbach. Exactly. Again, this is one of my problems. This is not a Spencer Schwellenbach problem. This is a Ryan Bloomfield problem.
Out of curiosity, what do you project him for innings wise?
What do I got him down for? I've got Schwelly down for 165.
Okay, so because most projections have him anywhere from like 160 to 170.
Yeah,
so okay.
It's fairly standard, but I'm probably a little bit lower on the skills. I got him for a 25% strikeout rate. It was 26 last year. Maybe I bumped that up a little bit because the swing strike rate was so good. It was a 14% swing strike rate, so there's room for growth with the Ks for Schwelly. He somehow only went on the Braves. Only went 8-7 last year with a 3.35 ERA. That's kind of hard to do, and I don't think that happens again.
That Braves offense is so bad. So yeah, I'm with you as well. That could be I'm just very, very high on him again. Yeah. We'll see. All right. 18th, Roky Sasaki. Neither one of us have him in the top 25 for obvious reasons. I have Freddie Peralta at 18. You have Sonny Gray at 18. I like Sonny Gray, but this one surprised me a bit. And I've just been angry at Freddie Peralta's ADP across the board. He's not even in top 25 in ADP at starting pitching, which is a travesty to me. So I'll give you the floor for Sonny Gray, who I do like, but you have him quite high here.
Another mea culpa here. Apparently, Roky Sasaki is outside of my top 100 as well.
You just completely neglected him.
He's in timeout with Rodon and Joe.
I have him at 23 at least.
I just didn't. God. All right. Updates on
again,
the Patreon.
Similar to Grom, I won't be drafting Sasaki.
I don't think
either, so I could punt him.
Right. In all honesty, I'm not having Sasaki in my top 25. I don't think either. So it's just I think LA handles him with baby gloves, and we have not seen the volume from Roky Sasaki that I would like to see to draft a top 20 pitcher. So anyway, speaking of lack of volume, we'll talk about my Sonny Gray pick.
That's a segue, folks.
No, actually, I mean, last two seasons for Sonny Gray, 184 innings, 166, 30%. I don't think many folks realize 30% K rate for Sonny Gray last year.
So many shares last year.
203 strikeouts from Sonny Gray last year with the commensurate bump in swinging strike. Anytime I see a bump in strikeouts, I want to see those whiffs tick up as well. And for Sonny Gray, it went from 11.7 up to almost 14% and almost 15% in the second half for Sonny Gray. Worry about the wins on Matt Thompson's squad here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Worry a little bit about the age, right? I can't say what I just said earlier about Wheeler and Sale and not apply that to Sonny Gray. But yeah, you just give me what Sonny Gray has done the last two seasons. I think Sonny Gray comes out as a value where he's being picked. So that's where I've got Gray. ADP wise, where's
he's 105.
He's like the 33rd starting pitcher off the board, and I've got him top 20. So I am ending up with a ton of Sonny Gray.
Yeah, I have him at 28, I believe, and I love Sonny Gray as well. Had a ton of shares last year because he had the hamstring injury that lowered his ADP.
Right.
So I drafted him all over the place last year. He's a great SP3 the way where he's going in drafts right now, like a phenomenal SP3. Or if you're really good, like I do, SP2.
Yeah, of course. That's a really good point, though, on the hamstring injury, because you can look at 166 innings last year in a vacuum and say that's not that much, but it wasn't an arm-related, and it was at the beginning of the season. Yeah, and so Sonny Gray was a full workload over the last 5 months of the season without an arm injury. So, like, you could very easily say Sonny Gray's 180-plus inning pitcher and has been the last two seasons.
100%. All right, kind of how you have love for Pablo, I have love for Freddy Peralta. And I think some of it's valid. Others are issues. Like the innings pitched 165, 173 the last 2 years. Okay. Ratios, he's got like a 3.6 to a 3.8 ERA. That's higher than most guys we talked about. Whip was 1.2 last year, but was 1.12, 104, 0.97. Like, was good. So this is where my whip issue starts, is with Freddy Peralta. But it's also, I look at Freddy Peralta, and it's a guy that has a consistent K rate of 27% or better. His walk rate jumped last year. That was part of his issue after dropping it a bit. He's had 200 or more strikeouts in back-to-back years, 190 or more in three out of the last 4 years. As you get deeper into this player pool, strikeouts start to disappear is where I'm going with this. And at Freddy Peralta's ADP of around 103 goes right in front of Sonny Gray. You get an elite strikeout arm with volatile ratios. We've seen him be very good. We've seen him be not great. So I get that. Again, ADP wise is interesting. So as an SP3, I've been snagging a ton of Peralta, because if I can get three pitchers with 190 plus strikeouts in them, that sets me up beautifully as the draft goes on. And so Peralta has been a humongous target of mine. I don't even know if we've seen the best of Freddie just yet, because it's always been a health concern, but we've seen him stay healthy the last 2 years, over 30 starts each of the last two seasons. Going to be 29 years old. I'm rolling with Freddie once again as my SP3. I'm a big fan of that.
So I think the only reason why I have Freddie a little bit lower is the second half. I mean, the strikeouts plummeted, went from a 31% K rate, which is elite, down to 24, which is basically league average. Fewer whiffs. The K to walk went from 22 to 13% in the second half. I maybe I'm just cherry picking arbitrary points of time, but I am big on, especially for pitchers, how did they look when they finished? How did they finish? And Freddie didn't finish that great. Now, the velocity held firm the whole time. I'm not saying there's an injury or something here. There has been injuries in the past with Freddie, but that's just the one thing when I look at Freddie's name that has me a little bit off of him, and why I've got him slightly lower than you. But if Freddie Peralta goes back to being regular Peralta, which is, like you said, a strikeout machine that you can get as an SP2 or 3, I get it. I get it.
All righty. 19th off the board is Shoto Umanaga. I have Bailey Ober. You have Aaron Nola. Just to add on to the Ober talk, I agree with everything you said. I think he's a budding ace. I could easily flip him with Pablo, for crying out loud. Like, there's a lot of movement that can be made there. What are your thoughts on Aaron Nola, who I have at 25?
It's more so just the draft and hold volume play, knowing that Aaron Nola, like the strikeout rate, the drop in Ks last year is concerning, but someone with just elite volume floor pitches deep into games when he does pitch well for a Philly team that gave him 14 wins last year. So I just think Aaron Nola is super safe for at least another year or two, starting to get up there, a lot of innings on that arm. But there's like zero chinks in that armor from a volume standpoint for Nola. Sometimes the volume isn't great volume. He has two seasons in the last four with a 440 plus ERA, which we all know that Aaron Nola experience, but the whip's always been pretty good. The K's have always been there. I feel like this is like, if we're going to comp players, you're not going to like this one. Like, is there much of a difference between I can't even get this out. Aaron Nola and Dylan Cease.
There's a gigantic difference. Don't even freaking go there. Good Lord. That is blasphemy.
Just throwing it out there. Yeah, man.
Throw it out there and never come back. Good Lord. That's I don't know if that's a bold take. That's just erroneous on all accounts.
Oh, there you have it. Hopefully I'm allowed to co-host.
You want to have that bet? You want to have a Corbin Burns versus Aaron Nola bet, Ryan, since you're so on board there?
No. Dylan Cease I compared him to.
That's what I meant. Dylan Cease and Aaron Nola. You want that one?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Just want to throw that out. Give that, you know, see how you'd react. You reacted well.
Yeah, it's going to the abyss is where that's going.
Same profile, though. Similar profile. Volume strikeouts, ratios that are, Aaron Nola is cheaper than Dylan Cease.
All right, we'll see. All right, last one we have here, ADP 20 is Spencer Schwellenbach. I already gave my spiel there. You have him at 23, I have him at 17, so ADP meets in the middle. At 20, I have Tanner Bibee. You have Luis Castillo. Just for reference sake, I have Luis Castillo 34th on my list. I'm trying to see where you have Tanner Bibee. You have him at 28. So I'll let you have the floor first on Luis Castillo. What's your thoughts there?
Probably me living in the past a little bit too much. I just lauded Shota Imanaga, who I have behind Castillo, so that will change. I just think this is probably the
and Kikuchi. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I probably need to put Schwellenbach ahead of Castillo again. This is why we talk through this stuff. I don't know about Kikuchi. We'll see on that one. I just think my brain immediately when I do these rankings, I just think of Luis Castillo as like 21, 22 Luis Castillo, even 2023. But things have declined for my good buddy Luis. The swinging strike rate was way down last year. Fewer whiffs, fewer Ks. And the velocity is precipitously dropping as well to a career low 95.6. When Luis Castillo is on, it's up towards 97. He's lost the ground ball rate. I don't know why I have Luis Castillo number 20. I think I'll be moving him down. I mean, it is what I'm just looking at the forecaster box here. It's 5 years in a row of a sub four ERA. Last 3 years, it's a sub 1-2 whip with good volume. Right. So there is that. There's the Seattle factor. Seattle's the best park to pitch in the majors. So all that kind of works in Luis Castillo's favor. It's just the decline is in, and I'm just hoping that it's a soft decline as opposed to a collapse.
Yeah. No, I kept wanting to put him lower, and I felt like I was being way too disrespectful.
Where do you have him? He's not on your list.
I have him at 34.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I think the decline is happening, and there's so many guys I'll take the upside on over Luis Castillo. Could be totally wrong, but
that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I'm not going to drop Castillo outside of my top 25, but like I take him over Roki Sasaki. I want the sure thing. I want the volume there, but maybe drop a couple spots, probably Imanaga and Schwellenbach ahead of him. Peralta, we'll see about even for me.
All righty. Last Tanner Bibee for me. I was pro thumping the drum on Tanner Bibee last year, wrote articles about it. That actually worked out pretty well. We saw 173 innings, 31 starts, 3.47 ERA. We saw a 1.12 whip, a 20% K to walk, everything you want to see, 187 strikeouts in his age 25 season. I might have, like, this is another guy. You talk about Ober taking a jump. Bibee still could take another jump. I have them right next to each other. Again, it's just who do you move type stuff. I love Tanner Bibee. I'm a huge believer. Nothing's changed. Pitch mix is awesome. There's starts where you wonder what the heck's going on, but it's because he has to locate. That's the Tanner Bibee recipe. But more often than not, one thing he showed me a lot last year, he at least grinded out starts. Like if he didn't have his stuff, he grinded it out for five or six innings and made it work. So I'm just a big Tanner Bibee fan. I think we got a guy that can go 180 plus innings. With the 20% K to walk, good ratios, you're talking that'll push you into 190 to 200 strikeouts, all things considered. So big Tanner Bibee fan, another guy that can make a nice jump, another really strong SP3 if you do it right.
Yeah. No, and actually, as you were talking, I went back to what I said about Logan Gilbert early on. You want skills, you want volume, and you want age. And Tanner Bibee has all three of those boxes checked. So yeah, why can't he take a step further up? I may be moving Bibee up again ahead of, like, I've got Max Fried 25th.
It's tough, man.
I think I go Bibee over Fried.
Oh, I have, yeah, I already do, but yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. But like, just talking it out, like my love for Freddie, like maybe Ober and Bibee should be over Freddie in this conversation.
I think so, but yeah.
But it's really like just one thing, and then we'll go to listener questions here because we are hitting towards the end of the time here. When looking at the ADP, and I know I get a lot of flack in the Discord for waiting on pitchers, and I understand we talk about it time and time again, year after year, elite pitchers, better ratios, consistency. So yes, don't disagree with any of that. But if you are someone like me that believes in injuries with pitchers and wants to take some chances on some upside guys, man, if you wait till even Cole Reagan's the 12th off the board, or you jump down to a Michael King at 16 with Schwelly, Peralta, Ober, Bibee, if you just like pound and get three out of those five, ratios are still going to be suspect. I get it, but you still have a ton of strikeouts, ton of win potential, and there's some youth there that maybe you see even more development in certain categories. Like, you could take that what-if game to a new level without having to take a high pick at the same time, is what I'm trying to get at. And that's just talking through this with you, looking at all these guys on the board. We still haven't even talked about a bunch of other ones that you could see making maybe a jump or two. Like, there's the pitching pool is deep with a lot of what ifs. If that, you know, people probably hate hearing that from our analysis, but that's a lot of what it is.
I'm in lockstep with you. I think just in general, talking through like pitchers 8 through 20, like a lot of those guys. And so for that reason, I'm also, I think on a lot of my teams in February and March, going to be heavy hitter early and then just grab, like you said, 2-3 of these guys that are this like SP2, and if things break right, they're SP1. So that's a big group and a lot of options within that group
for sure. All right, we'll hit up some listener questions here again. Next week we'll start preview number 2, start from ADP 21 and beyond. Let me scroll through here. We have BP in the chat says, can Garrett Crochet be this year's Tariq Skubal? Has the ability, but never really did it for a full season. Then goes out and is a monster. Seems like Crochet is set for that this year.
Yep. If he does it, Crochet is a first round starting pitcher. So yeah, if he does it.
All right. Something you kind of hit on earlier, Sean Chard in the chat says, the fantasy baseball analysts are split on what to expect from DeGrom this year. Will he pitch 140 innings and be close to peak DeGrom? Or do you think his injury woes continue? James Oss also mentions, coming off of that question, how many innings pitched does DeGrom need to return cost? 100 innings, how many innings? You kind of hit this earlier, though.
Yeah, it was like 120, I think, yes, innings to return cost, and I've got him below that. So, or no, it was, my bad. It was 100. I've got it right in front of me.
140?
130 to return cost for Jacob DeGrom. So,
Sean Chard also asks, which top 20 starting pitcher are you avoiding entirely and will have zero of this draft season? Probably Roky Sasaki, honestly, but that's 18th. Garrett Cole, one of me, him.
Yeah, probably Cole. We haven't talked about Cole, but I mean, DeGrom for me.
Yeah.
Also for you, it's
Yamamoto.
Burns.
I'll have a lot of Burns.
Yes. Never mind, Burns. Who did you have low?
It was DeGrom. I had Luis Castillo at 34.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
I feel like there's someone else, but I'm losing my mind. I don't know.
It's all good. Cappy Dave says, thoughts on Brian Wu? Does he reach the Baseball HQ up projection? We'll talk Wu in upcoming episodes, but you can hit on that real quick if you want, Ryan.
He could. What is the up projection?
While you look it up, I'm terrified of him just because of the constant injury concerns last year, and that's probably just my biases with other pitchers going around him that I trust more.
Yeah, so the up projection for Brian Wu is 180 strikeouts. That's a stretch. That's why it's an up. But I don't trust the health of Brian Wu. I don't think he can pitch enough innings to get to 180.
They kept trying to trade him, folks. It stands out to me. GP Churchill says, are you guys really going to draft Sale ahead of Kirby?
It does. It does call into question what I said earlier about it's easy to rank these guys, but when you're actually in the draft room, you have to click draft. Do you do it? I think right now, no. I think I take Kirby. I just want to see Sale pitch this spring, and then, yes, I would take Sale over Kirby.
Yeah, I would take Kirby over Sale as well. I'm so terrified, and that's just me, and then I'll take my chances later, kind of we talked about. Tall F Sun says, people are sure drafting Michael King really high. Do you trust that since he has only started for 1 year? Personally, I need a little more history before I can draft him that high. I'd almost rather take my chances with likes of Grayson Rodriguez at that point, younger and better long-term upside, depending on the league format. We talked about it. I'm all in on Michael King at that price. No problem at all.
Yeah, I think you made a great point. We can kind of try to predict injuries, but like Michael King just did it. Grayson Rodriguez, I think, has injury questions. Yeah. So, I think if you wait too long for someone to pitch like this for multiple years across MLB workloads, you miss out. So, yeah, I think Michael King's fine where he's going.
Yeah, and it's like if we're all good with Cole Reagans, but not Michael King, they did the same thing, essentially. I know, like, what are we doing here? This is kind of how I look at it. So, yeah. Lucas Beery says, how do you analyze players who suddenly change their true talent at pitchers with the limited track record at their new price, i.e. Schwelly, Crochet, Manaea, etc.?
There's not a good answer for me on this. What makes this game very difficult? How do you, and with the Framber Valdez example, with the pitch mix change, even that, like, is he going to hold it? It's a constant game of adjustments. Are hitters now going to key on that changeup? It's just a constant game of cat and mouse. So I always lean to, I want to see the track record for at least a year. So that's why I initially have Schwellenbach lower, but it's a very tough question. I don't have the answer for.
Yep, I'm with you. And then Jump Shoot says, do you agree that starting pitchers are more likely to have a significant injury, therefore bats are a safer play for the first few rounds? I believe we both agree yes on that one.
Especially before spring training, when they have not reported yet and we don't know what's been going on. So, yeah, I feel more confident as we get further into spring training. We see some innings from these guys, but until then, I'm always going to lean hitters right now.
Yep, 100% as well. That'll wrap it up, my friend. Another fun episode. That was good. That was really good to kind of hash that out. Top 20 rankings, because things get crazy when we do rankings, let alone pitchers with such volatility. So we'll come back next week with previews 2 and 3 to kind of cap out all of starting pitchers. And again, if you're on the Patreon, you'll get relief pitcher rankings this weekend. You'll get the sheet next week sometime. And listener leagues are filling up. We're good to go there. So any final thoughts, Ryan?
Nah, I got to run. So.
All right.
Good show.
Everybody, make sure to check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And I am at BD Intric. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 211. Catch you all next time.